Pentecost, many people say, is the start of the modern day church, our birthday, if you like, which is why we've had party poppers, and we might have even had birthday cake before now, as Pentecost has gone previous years. It's a time when the Holy Spirit came on all people, not just special people, as it had done in the Old Testament and at different times for specific reasons, but everyone. It's a time, as we heard just on there, when the Holy Spirit came with, there was wind and fire and strange languages and a call to repent. But what does this phenomenon mean? We have all these things that happen. We have all these strange things. But what does it actually mean? Was it something just for back then, as some people say? Was it something that always has to happen in that way when the Holy Spirit is around with wind and fire and strange languages? And why do we continue to celebrate today? Well, we're going to hear a different Bible reading now as we think a little bit more about that. Now, this is coming from Zoom. This is from Robin. So hopefully we will all hear as he's going to read from the book of John, I believe.
That's right. So the reading is from John chapter 14, verses 12 to 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. It's a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Brilliant. Thank you, Robin. That worked surprisingly smooth, didn't it? Excellent. So that was John 14, verses 12 to 21, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples at the Last Supper. Now, we normally have a challenge, specifically for those of you on Zoom, but those of you in the building have a pipe cleaner. You can either just mess and fiddle with it, or you can create something. When you think of the Holy Spirit, what comes to mind? Can you create that out of a pipe cleaner? It's a challenge. At home, you'll probably have paper, Lego, pens, so you can create what you want. It's when you think of the Holy Spirit, what comes to mind? Create that. And maybe at the end, people have a chance to hold it up, but we won't necessarily be able to talk to everyone who's had a creation, but do create as you listen to what's been said. Well, we've had lots of regulations, haven't we, over the past year and a bit, and lots of easing of regulations. And the latest easing of regulation, I noticed, allowed indoor activities to take place. And one of those was soft play areas. You know, the things where little children go on with the ball pools and the, all sorts of things. It's not one of those places that I really frequent now, but it holds lots of memories, especially from when the boys were very little. And when I was thinking about what Jesus said in this passage that Robin just read, it reminded me of soft play areas with the boys. Bear with, it will become clear. Because the thing is, when you go to these places and your children are very, very small, you start off fairly easily sitting in the 0 to 4 years area, where they're just crawling around and you can sit and, you know, rescue them a little bit if they go in the wrong place. But they can't go very far and it's only small. But then when they enter, get a bit older, it's the 4+ area. Now, this area is huge. It's like 3 or 4 stories high in some places. It's got slides, it's got nets, it's got these roller things you have to squeeze through. It's got everything. And my boys were active from day one. So when they were probably about 2 or 3, they wanted to go in the 4+ area because, you know, that's far more exciting. But they couldn't go on their own, so they had to go with an adult. So there was me dreaming of sitting there with hot chocolate while my children went off to play. No. I had to go in. And my mom, I think she might be on Zoom today, she had to go in as well. We were there with our, taking our shoes off, with our socks, going into the soft play area with the children, climbing up to the 3rd floor. crippling ourselves on the rope nets because they're so painful when you've got no shoes on, treading on the balls in the ball pool, that was another crippling experience, putting your hand into something sticky, not sure what that was, but it was all over. Oh, it's horrible. Still the memories make me feel a little bit ill. Getting stuck on the slide. Come on, Mom, come down the slide. I can't, darling. Actually can't possibly fit down there. And the most embarrassing, realising that you've got too old to get through those two rollers. Can't do that. Stuck halfway. Need to be dragged out. Just hold my hand, darling, to give me a pull. All of this sacrifice so I could enable my children to have fun. And the boys were fine, of course. With my help, they could do everything. They were running around, they were enjoying themselves, but they needed me to be there. Because without me, at that point in their lives, they would have struggled to do what they were doing. And here in the book of John, as Jesus speaks to his disciples at the Last Supper, he's talking to a group of people who were very like my boys when they were 2 years old in the soft play area. Because so far, these disciples have done amazing things. They've had loads of fun, if you like, if you wanted to refer to it in that way. They've healed the sick. They've cast out demons. They've preached the good news. They've fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish and many other things. They've climbed the heights of the indoor soft play area, if you like. But they've done it because Jesus has been there with them. Either he's been leading the way and he's been telling them what to do, or he's sent them out and he's been waiting there for them to come back and tell him all the things that have happened. But nevertheless, he's been there, walking alongside them, enabling them to do all these things and have this fun. And now as he speaks to them at the Last Supper, just before he's arrested, Jesus knows he'll soon no longer be with them physically as a person. That very soon he will be betrayed and arrested and tried and crucified. And the disciples will have to cope on their own. The disciples may not quite understand this at this point, but Jesus knows that soon he'll have to leave them for good. And so he begins to talk to them in the passage Robin read about going to be with his father. He begins to talk to them about how they will one day be with him. But more importantly, he begins to talk about what will happen to them on earth once he is gone. And amazingly, Jesus firstly tells the disciples that when he is gone, they will continue to do the things that he have been doing, that they have been doing so far. Or as it says here, they will continue to do the works that Jesus has been doing. But even more amazing than this, he also tells them that they will do even greater things as well, things that they haven't done before. Now, this doesn't mean they'll do lots more miracles necessarily, but there are also acts of service and sacrifice as well. And the reason they'll be able to do these things and live in this way, even though Jesus is no longer physically there, is because God will give them another advocate to help them and be with them. You see, what Jesus wants to assure the disciples and those who are to follow too is that even though he will be gone, they're not going to be left alone. They're not going to be left only with his teachings and the distant memory of all the things that have gone on before, but they're going to be given someone else, one who will be with them, as it says here, forever. Jesus, of course, refers to this person as the Spirit of Truth. We know this helper as the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God who comes to live within the lives of human beings, the one we celebrate today at Pentecost. But you see, the amazing thing about this passage that has just been read is that when Jesus talks about the Spirit of Truth, he also explains what this Spirit will be like. He doesn't talk about an ambiguous force that will enter our lives with power and wonders. He doesn't talk about something unknown or unknowable that will take over our lives, something to be wary of or maybe afraid. Instead, he talks about his Spirit, the Spirit of God, about a spirit that carries the same character and love and grace, the same truth that Jesus has been carrying. Or if you like, a spirit they will know, one that they are familiar with, which is why Jesus says the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You see, the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises here will be one that is known, not only to those who have seen Jesus and followed him, not only to the disciples there and then, but also to those who have not seen, but will follow afterwards. Or as it says here, to those who have faith. to us, if you like, and the many, many others who have lived in the name of Jesus. And not only will we know the Holy Spirit in our lives, but the Spirit of God will also be active within us, not simply as a helper, there to assist with what we desire, or a bit of strength when we need it, although this is also what the Holy Spirit will do, but as an advocate, that's what it says in this passage, an advocate, as one who, the dictionary says, works and argues to support another's case, an advocate, one who is for us and works alongside us so that we will be heard. For those early readers, it would have brought to mind images of heavenly law courts, where God is the judge, and the assurance that the Holy Spirit will forever plead their case, meaning that when we have no words to describe how we feel before God, when we have no energy to bring ourselves before God, when we have no desire to make things right when they've gone so badly wrong, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in us, will be calling out to God for us on our behalf, pleading our case, showing our heart, calling out in love to the one who can make things right, and never stopping, even when we ourselves are tempted to give up. It reminds me of one of those children's toys that doesn't have an off button. Why do they make those? I know, eyes raised. Why do they make those? I don't know, but they do. Children's toys with no off button, and the only thing you can do, apart from taking the batteries out, which I never thought of for some weird reason, is to put it in a box right at the bottom so no one finds it and put it away. But the trouble is, every time you go in that box to get something out, it sets it off. And you can hear this toy going on and on. Even if you breathe near the box or walk past it slowly, it seems to set this thing off. It never seems to stop. And in a way, this is the picture we get of the advocate, the Holy Spirit in our lives, the one who never stops speaking for us, never stops speaking for us, never gives up, never lets God forget our plight and our worth, but keeps going despite all things. And not only that, but this Holy Spirit, this wonderful Spirit of God who makes a home in our lives is, as Jesus says here, the Spirit of truth. Not just any spirit who will go along with what we desire and what we long for. Not just any spirit who will collude with our waywardness and turn a blind eye. But the Spirit of truth. In other words, a spirit who cares about how we live and therefore challenges us, prompts us, nudges us. Not only standing as an advocate for us, but also a spirit that will cause us to think, bringing to our attention the way that we live, the things we say, the thoughts we have, so that we can recognize our faults and our wanderings and our struggles and fully engage with the healing that God offers us. Because this spirit is God's spirit. And so this spirit that Jesus promises his disciples is one that not only wants the best for us, but also has the power and grace to bring about the best in us too. But perhaps the most amazing thing about the Holy Spirit that Jesus promises to his disciples and to us is that once the Spirit of God takes up residence in our lives, not only will we forever have an advocate who cries out to God for us, a gracious guide who challenges our lives and the comfort and strength we need to live, we will also have an unbreakable relationship with the one who made us. Because by the Holy Spirit, we'll be drawn into the heart of God himself. Or as Jesus says here, at that moment, you will know absolutely that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. Or if you like, with the Holy Spirit living in us, we will finally find our true place, our true home in God. You see, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the other helper that Jesus promises the disciples, the one that came to them when Jesus appeared after his resurrection and more fully with flame and wind and strange tongues at Pentecost, is not just a strange power from God, not a gift for some special people to exhibit and others can never get near, but instead it is God making his home in each of us, ordinary human beings, and loving us in a way that we cannot always fully comprehend. So that whatever we live through, and however we feel we're coping or not, perhaps, God is here, inside each of our lives. And he's crying out for us. And he's nudging us towards the truth, and he's drawing us towards our home in him. And he's giving us the power that we need to live lives of faith when faith seems so hard to grasp. And that's why we celebrate Pentecost today. Not because it's an ancient tradition in the church calendar or a strange one-off event so many years ago, but because today, together in one room or apart, we are united by the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives in each and every one of us, and who calls us again and again to make our home in God and to live with him. We're going to have opportunity to sit now before God, to invite God's Holy Spirit to fill our lives afresh, to work in our lives again, to draw us closer to him. We're going to have a time of prayer, but we're going to start by singing Holy Spirit, We Welcome You, or if we're in the church, by sitting and receiving these words. And then after that, we'll go into a time of quiet. You might want to put your hands out on your lap to receive God's Holy Spirit, or just sit how you feel comfortable. If you're at home, you might want to do that too. So let's either sing if we're at home, or listen to this song as we invite God's Holy Spirit to come and speak to us this morning.
So yeah, we are going to have clapping for those who would like to do it. It's quite a rhythmic song. When we try and do this with guitar and piano at home, it doesn't really work so well. There are lots of loving and kind and Christian words exchanged to be practiced. So Cheryl has kindly decided to step far outside of her comfort zone and is going to keep the rhythm. So for those who want to join with her, by all means feel free to sort of clap. The rhythm behind this song goes, but, 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 but. Right? So you can just do that. That's what Cheryl will do. You're welcome to go along with that. If that distracts you from singing, feel free just to do the clap at the end, but clap, and that will keep going throughout the whole song. And those who don't want to clap at all don't have to clap. And hopefully we'll all kind of stay in time together and still be friends at the end.
Yeah. It's been good to be together here, and it's been good to be joined on Zoom. We will be here again next week. We'll be continuing our walk through Hebrews, the book of Hebrews that we have been doing recently. I did forget to mention that Does God Matter is on tonight, yes, 6:30 in Emma's garden, weather permitting. Do join us for that if you're of the age to come to that. Let's say a blessing. And then I do believe people can stay on Zoom to chat. Please don't go away. If you'd like to chat, do stay and you can chat together. But let's say a blessing. May God bless us and may God keep us. May we know his Spirit working within our lives each day. May we know him close, and may we be aware that we are his people, joined together by his Spirit at all times. Amen. Thank you, everyone.